came to an end on Friday night in that play-in game against the Memphis Grizzlies. And now the offseason is upon us. And joining us to talk about that game and more is the head coach of the Mavericks. We say good morning to Jason Kidd.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
All right. We're doing great, and I bet you're doing well now. You're finally getting some sleep now that the season is over. You probably feel bright-eyed and bushy-tailed talking with us this morning.
Well, I don't know about bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I mean, I'm bright-eyed because of the freaky green alien eyes that I have that are so beautiful, but I wouldn't say that I'm bushy-tailed. I mean, I'm manscaped, so, I mean, I don't look like I have a bison ass or anything like that, you know. Now, sometimes I do let it get a little out of control in the off-season, and my ass hair grows wild, and I get a little yeti-like, but nothing that I would describe as a bushy-tail, just more of a tasteful shag carpet.
Okay, fair enough. It's just a saying, but anyway, the loss on Friday in the play-in game to the Grizzlies, and now you are finally at the end of the road.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, that's one way of looking at it, but it's not an accurate way of looking at it. I mean, this isn't the end of the road. There's lots of roads, and usually every road is connected to more roads. So I don't think that we've lost interest in infrastructure in the country to the point where we no longer construct roads, because a recent study in 2022 found that almost 100% of people who own automobiles use roads as their primary form of automotive surface travel. So, I mean, when you declare the end of road as we know it in America, I don't think your declaration is reflective of the actual data on infrastructure spending, nor is it reflective of actual automotive owner behavior patterns. So you might want to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
Wrecking that overly tricked up Audi SUV you're driving down in the parking lot.
That's true. We do share a parking lot with the Mavericks. So
it just
maybe
meant the end of the season.
That was what you drive. Well, that was pretty ugly on Friday in Memphis. Quite a finale.
Well, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I think that's a trim level offer by GMC on their popular Canyon, Sierra, Acadia, and Yukons. I mean, I don't know why you're bringing up an upscale trim level on a domestic automobile while I'm still dealing with the end of our season. So,
well, it's finale, not Denali.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Denali. I'm looking at a GMC website right now, and it says Denali, so I think I should know. I mean, because I rolled one time when I was crying and listening to Tony Braxton cranked on 11. Hold on a second. Hey, Nico, this heavyset guy I'm talking to on the phone and that Randy Rogers hates thinks that it's a GMC finale.
Okay. No, it's the end of the season I was talking about. That was the finale.
He's still insisting on it. Insisting.
You're talking to Nico?
Talking about the end of the season.
This is Mavs head coach Jason Kidd with us. Okay, now, jeez. And maybe this is one for Nico, too. This franchise now has the very tough task this offseason of trying to win back the fans. How do you do that?
Well, I mean, you have to ask yourself, I mean, how would somebody other than us have all of our fans already and that they could bet in a poker game against us? I mean, who's playing for our organization in the poker game, and how would that person be able to push all those into the center of the table? I mean, that's a lot of fans going to fit on one poker table. You're going to push them forward. Gosh. When you got a good hand and you haven't even specified whether you're talking Texas Hold'em, 5-card draw, 7-card stud, Omaha, Raz. I mean, your lack of specificity is just really appalling.
I was kind of thinking that too.
Unless you're talking about a different kind of fan, like a folding Chinese fan or a 52-inch Hunter fan with a built-in remote control that has full reverse on the remote. I mean, that may be something we could look into.
No. Just the affection of the fans, really not the fans. Never mind.
Well, what a long season. The trade, all the games missed to injuries. Are you just going to disappear for a while?
What? How could I disappear? You mean I couldn't see my own reflection in a mirror anymore?
No, what I meant was...
Oh, my God, you're giving me a heart attack. What are my kids going to think if all of a sudden I'm translucent, or worse, transparent, or worse, even completely gone? All my kids, they're not going to have a father. At least they won't have one that has an embodied voice. I'm really nervous now. I got to go see a witch doctor to figure out how to not disappear.
Oh, no.
Take some time off. That's all I was talking about.
Well, I think you really scared him.
I guess so. He's gone.
Inning! I just love laughing for no apparent reason. Welcome! Thank you for being here. You know, I'm appreciative because I've shifted into my fake emotionally contemplating contemplative voice. I'm not good with what you call... what do they call it? Words. but now I'm back at this jaunty pace. My name is Norman Dahmer Hitchkiss, and as you may or may not know, I have been happily retired from radio for a couple of years, and I've been living with my beautiful wife and podcast co-host, Mare Bear. And you know, before we get to the murderous NFL ramblings of Rick Goose Goslin, I just want to say a word about my lovely wife, Ruff. You know, I don't think men say enough positive things about their wives, but I want to say that Mare Bear takes such good care of me. When we travel, she always wants me to get the best view of the wonders of the world. And last year, when we were at the Grand Canyon, she rolled my chair right up to the very edge so that I could see all the way down the canyon. So I stared at that natural wonder for a whole 7 hours while Mare Bear was at the casino gambling with Guillermo, the young Latin American man who was serving as our tour guide. She also keeps our windows really clean at Lake Louisville so that I can see the lake so well. I mean, we run through window cleaner like there's no tomorrow. She always waits till I'm sleeping too to clean the windows because I never see her doing it. Boy, does that window cleaner disappear fast. So does the rat poisoning. She also personally insists on doing all my meal prep at home too. She does it all herself. Won't let anyone else touch it. And I don't want to get too intimate here, but when I started making noise about getting some of those little blue pills to finally address my ED, she said, "Don't worry about it, Norm. I accept you just the way you are." Oh. Isn't that great, that level of acceptance?
That's sweet.
Hot breakfast in bed every morning, tasting like window cleaner and arsenic, and a wife who just accepts you the way you are. Oh. All right! Jeez. Once again, I'm Norman Elizabeth Hitchkiss. It's time once again for the 53rd annual Rick Goose Goslin NFL Mock Draft on the radio. So now, on the bench, stick it to my son, nerd! We have a man who once hit an intern in the face so hard she lost vision in her left eye. Formerly of the Dallas Morning News, current record holder of the Star Trek Orgy Convention, it's Rick Goose Goslin, known as AKA Hap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-Bap-
old school pioneers of the craft.
Yes! How are you? Oh, so great to talk to you, pal. Yes, so great to talk to you, pal. We got to do this, Goose. We got to get right to it. Now, let's start off at the top of the draft. Who do you see going at number one? Goose! How did you know I was going to start at the most logical place to start talking about the draft by asking about the very first pick? Goose!
Cam Ward's a no-brainer, top pick, great arm. Titans desperately need a QB, and they grab the best. Tennessee volunteers to take the best player in the draft, Norman.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. My name is Norman Bundy Hitchkiss, and I'm visiting with Rick Goose Goslin. At number two, we
Travis
have...
Hunter.
Goose, I wasn't even finished asking the question. You've already consulted with the devil and sold your soul to come up with the next 5 seconds of the future in order to find out the rest of my question. Goose, that's amazing! Goose!
Two-way star from Colorado. He'll make an immediate impact on the Browns the way my first kiss at age 32 made an immediate impact on me.
Oh, my gosh.
I love that story. I always used to get you to tell me that story on the road. Love hearing about your first kiss, pal. Love it. My name is Norman Testicular Torsion Hitchkiss, known felon and draft expert. And joining me is Rick Goose Goslin. We're talking draft. Draft. I don't know why I'm a rabbit dog. At the number three pick, we have the Giants, and I want to know what you think. Goose, you did it again! Your prescient knowledge of the future and interrogatives impresses all within earshot! Not only that, Goose, but it gives me an orgasmic sensation in my Depends adult undergarments! Goose!
Jeez.
This is earlier than most think Sanders should go. Teams overreach for quarterbacks, Norm, though, and he's the next best in this draft. Deion gets two players in the top three. Fornicating used to be his drug. Now it's turning out pro prospects.
All right. My name is Norman Elizabeth Hitchkiss once again. And we have to talk about this. We just have to talk about this. We are here in Dallas and Fort Worth, and we've got to talk about the Cowboys at number 12. Who do you see? Goose!
Didn't even hear
I screamed so loud I didn't even hear your answer, Goose!
Tedderell McMillan, number one receiver on my draft board. Cowboys need one, and they get a tall, rangy kid with great hands. They get the best.
Goose, that's just amazing. I asked, and then you tell me it's amazing, Goose. It's just amazing. It's good to talk to you, Bill. It's
Norman,
so good.
Norman, after you're done with the ticket draft coverage this weekend, I invite you to my annual post-draft party. We'll review all the special teams players taken in this year's draft, and then we're going to binge-watch season two of Battlestar Galactica. And as a bonus, all of us are going to dress like members of Heaven's Gate for the evening, so be sure you fall in line.
Oh, buddy, I'd love to put on my Nikes and be your little Marshall Applewhite pal. Oh, it's just so great, but I could really skip the Battlestar Galactica thing. I'm not quite into that egghead science fiction stuff like you, Ruff.
You'll love it. Trust us. You'll love it, Norman.
Hey, I'll do anything for you, pal.
Love you.
I love you. Oh, it's,
so
it's Rick Goose Goslin for another edition of Norm and the Goose!
And the Goose.
Yo, Norm and the Goose. Savannah Gordo now takes out the wireless to talk to some of the P1s with us. Come in, Gordo. Where are you?
Craig, do you have me?
I have
I'm standing probably about 4 feet from you, staring directly into your lovely hazel eyes.
Yes, I've got you now.
That hide a murderous intent. Yeah, I'm out with the wireless here and thought we'd talk to some of the P1s out here at Fannin Tree Farm. What's your name, ma'am?
Tiffany.
Hey, it's Tiffany, our old pal Tiffany.
Old pal.
We see her at events and things like this, and you're wearing an interesting T-shirt, aren't you, Tiffany?
Yeah, I am. I got it on eBay for a dollar.
Okay, not from eBay. What does this say on the front of your shirt?
It says, Up Tops, Crafty, Milking Table, Breast Milk, Skittered, Up Under, Waffle Stomp, Spackle, Mazda Miata, and put that on a T-shirt. But last but not least, I've never said that before in my life. Gordon T.
Gordon Keith. It's attributed to me in there. I really don't think I've said. I may have said Up Under. That was the only one that I said. One.
That's your only crutch.
Do you still have that Roman numeral tattoo on the nape of your neck?
I do, yes.
Was it four?
Yes.
Wow.
Very
good
much.
Memory.
Spent a lot
That's
of time staring
creepy.
At the back of the neck. Yeah.
That's a little creepy that he remembers
remember that.
A little bit creepy. And what do? You work in ophthalmology or something?
Yes,
I
do.
That's creepy, too. He knows what you do for a living.
Corneal specialist, yes.
Yeah. You're what?
I work for a corneal specialist. So we do all ophthalmology, but we specialize in corneal transplants.
Wow. Now, how has corneal transplants changed over the years?
A lot, actually. Now we can do just partial thickness on the back of the cornea, where it's just a thin layer of tissue from a cadaver, but we can also do the full transplant where it's a full thickness.
So
we're all going to do this someday, right?
I don't think so.
No, only if you have a really bad corneal disease or an infection. So
I thought
for
it was
all
a
of
new
you
LASIK.
Who sleep in contact lenses and get bad infections, you will probably need one.
Guys ever slept in contact lenses?
No, never worn them.
Me neither.
Never could do it.
So wait, George, you were confusing LASIK surgery with a corneal
transplant.
No,
isn't there something with the corneal something now that...
Be more specific. You sound out of your
depth. Transplant that's not from a cadaver or something?
So a lens transplant would be cataract surgery.
Okay.
A lens implant, yes.
Yeah.
And that's not, implanted someone else's lens. That's an artificial lens.
That's correct, yeah.
That's what I was talking about.
And my doctors are actually P1s, too, so I always talk to them about the show in the morning, and they're actually listening this morning.
So, George, you were confusing a lens, an artificial lens being put in with a corneal transplant from a cadaver.
Yes, maybe.
Okay, Tiffany, let me ask you this. Why haven't we been able to come up with some artificial substance instead of a cornea from a dead human? There's not some high-tech kind of transparent cornea that we can grow in a pig?
Not yet. but technology is always changing. Medicine's always moving forward, so we could.
Have they tried the pig's cornea yet? Maybe.
That's actually where you start. You practice. So in medical school, you practice on pig eyes.
On a pig?
Pig eyes, yeah.
Have you ever done surgery on pig eyes?
Not me personally, no. Okay. But I've assisted in many surgeries before.
Tell her you want to get a tattoo,
and
too.
I want to get a tattoo.
On my taint?
On my taint.
I think you should totally do it.
He wants to go with the number 5, though. Roman numeral 5.
Yeah, I'm going to get the Roman numeral 5 on my taint. So right after the nape of your neck is my taint.
Only if you prove it.
Okay.
Look out now.
Are you married, Tiffany?
I am not, no.
Are you with man or woman?
Nope.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. When was the last time you dated, seriously?
A few weeks ago.
Oh, so fairly. Way
trap.
To go, Gordon.
Bear trap.
And what happened with that?
I wised up.
Oh.
Yeah.
How long had you gone out with this person?
A year and a half. Oh,
that's
yeah.
pretty long.
He's yeah. looking for the, juicier details,
the
by the way.
The biggest thing, and he wasn't a PY. That yeah. was a huge deal.
That's
and I was
a problem.
Like, you know what? This isn't going
to
work.
Have you ever been close to marrying someone?
I have, yes. Yeah, I was engaged before that relationship.
Okay. What happened with that?
Oh. I can't say that on the radio.
Come on, what happened? You can tell me. You can tell me. I'm Roman number 5. You can tell me.
Okay. I caught him cheating.
Oh.
With anyone you knew?
No.
Gordo is so happy right
I'm
now.
Sorry.
To give this kind of an
I'm
answer.
Happy.
I'm sorry.
I
we're
very
making,
sad.
He's so
he's
happy.
Making you very sad this. About this right now. You caught him cheating how?
In the act.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
This is a gold mine for Gordo.
Wait, you walked in as he was doing this?
Right after, maybe.
In the parking lot of a restaurant that I was also at next door.
Okay.
What are the odds? I'm sure that's what he was thinking.
And it was in a and it was in a car.
Yes.
It wasn't just out in the open like dogs.
No, he should have because he was a dog.
Oh man!
And was she hot?
No, she was a hooker.
Oh my goodness!
What the?
Wow!
Jesus!
Hi,
sorry. How
Tiffany.
Do you know that? How do you know that from just
so
looking
sorry.
At a woman?
Oh, I could tell. Yeah.
Oh.
She was fixing her wig, so it was.
Oh, wow.
And then actually, I ended up seeing her at a Twin Peaks a couple weeks later. And I made sure I went up and said hi to her.
Did you slap
oh,
her?
Gosh.
I just said hi and I showed her the video. And she freaked out and
oh,
ran.
Do you have the video?
Wow.
I caught everything. Yeah.
Can we see it?
Can we see it? Do you have it on your phone now?
I do, yeah.
Oh, she has it with her.
Oh, my.
So I'm going to see just a little of it just to make sure you're telling the truth.
We'll send it to Dave Raymond, and he can do play-by-play on it.
Yeah, can we send it to Dave Raymond, and he'll put a voiceover?
Come on, everybody. Come on.
His legs definitely went downhill, and mine just got better. So yeah.
Did you know him from work, or where'd you meet him?
Rounding third.
I met him just around town, just mutual people, yeah.
It's very generic. We can't really track that down, but okay.
Okay, they wouldn't have the natural.
Thanks for reopening that one.
Met him around town through people.
Okay. All right. And then, what about the love of your life? Is there one person that you dated that your heart is still warm for?
Yes. We were together for 6 years, but he lives in California, where I'm originally from.
And is he remarried Ribs. Or married?
He's married, has a family, yeah. So best wishes for him, though. He deserves that.
Does it hurt seeing pictures of his children and seeing how good his life
yes,
is?
Yes, it does, because I'm still really, really close with all of his family and his parents. And so I always see this stuff online, but I'm happy for him. He deserves that.
What part of California
it is
from?
It is. So.
Southern California.
Yeah.
It's a very beautiful part, much more beautiful than where you live.
All right, Taylor, you have to go.
All right, I have to go.
Tell her you're sorry
I'm
about
sorry.
Everything.
Asian's going to agree.
And you're a bad person.
I'm
a bad
sorry.
Person. All right, thank you, Tiffany.
Sorry, Tiffany. Golly.
Boy. Unbelievable.
The things you get people to say and talk about is just amazing.
The Musers, the NFL draft starts tonight here on The Ticket. And joining us now on The Ticket Hotline is our longtime buddy, NFL draft expert. He was doing this before even Mel Kiper Jr. was doing this, and for 30 years has been giving us his exclusive Ribby Paltz mock draft here on our show. We say good morning to Ribby Paltz. How are you?
I'm doing good, Miller Man. Good to talk to you. Yeah, and I got a pretty big little announcement to start off here.
Okay.
This is my last Ribby mock draft.
No.
Yep, I am retiring to take David Moore's place at the morning news. And I'm going to run for Pope. Those two things.
Wow,
that's okay. A lot.
Yeah, I'll be the first Pope to serve as a Cowboys beat reporter for the morning news.
Wow.
But for my potentially final and last ticket exclusive NFL mock draft, I am doing something different this time. I'm using technology in a way that has been unthought of before it was come up with.
Okay.
And I am now using a proprietary blend of AI and machine learning to come up with my draft prediction. So this is cutting edge stuff. It uses computer and electric to come up with the most accuracy. So in testing that was done by science, gentlemen, they have found that my proprietary fusion of AI and instinct has increased accuracy to within 1% of a quintuple percentile.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and that's measured on an atomic level with nanoparticle individuation, so that's a good. Let's do it!
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right, so here's the Ribby Paltz NFL Mock Draft 2025 in all its murderous glory. At the number one selection choose make, I am not only projecting, but also predicting with 99.37% certainty that the Tennessee Titans will take none other than the one and the only man without no introduction further ado, the incomparable and non-paralleled sportsman football, none other than Quanshon Judkins.
Oh, my God.
The RB from Ohio State. He is a great deep threat running back. Jeez. That has got good elbow to handoff ratio, and he's a presence in the middle. But most importantly, for this draft, he's the number one overall pick for the Tennessee Titans.
Everybody in the world has Cam Ward going to Tennessee.
And he hasn't read the Constitution. At the number two selection make, gentlemen, for football drafting,
okay,
the Browns from Cleveland, the team that so many Cleveland Browns fans cheer for. They want to address a need, a most sacred need, for getting more football players to fill out their roster. So in that effort, and to that end, the Cleveland Browns take Cam Ward, the QB from Miami, USA.
Okay.
All right.
They would definitely take him if he slipped to two.
Yes.
But the Browns don't want him for QB because they feel he's more of a natural pass rusher.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
They think his years playing quarterback have given him a good feel for how, you know, quarterbacks move in the pocket after dropping back the pass and stuff. So that gives him an advantage over other pass rushers. So they take the newly minted pass rusher, Cam Ward, and they call it a day. They leave the draft facility holding up that number one sign.
Okay.
At the number three selection, mate, have pick, choose, choice.
Okay, here we go, Giants.
The Giants from a New York. They feel good enough about their team that they don't want anything else because they know, as the Buddha says, desire for something else makes only for more suffering. So the Giants pass and they are out of it.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Out of it.
The number four?
Yeah.
Choice make, the patriotic football player men from New England, they get in the spirit of the draft by setting up the massage table and learning the Asian word for hand relief so they can get the football equivalent of a crafty.
Bingo.
In the form of a one and only wide receiver man from Ohio State. You know who I'm talking about. Emeka Egbuka.
Yes.
It's a little high for him, but okay.
They feel like his knee catch ability combined with his pupil-to-neck ratio will make him a good third-down deep threat.
Okay.
So they take him so that they can join the parade of fans that love the one and only E-Me-K Egg Bouquet.
Join the parade.
At the number 5 choice selection make, choose have system number, system indicator, draft order, the Jaguar, hailing from Jacksonville, Louisiana, Florida. They take a look at their team, and they decide they don't have time to think about who they need to take, so they haul off and do the one and only thing indecisive people can do, and they pass.
Ribby,
another pass.
Teams don't pass.
At number 6 position choice, gentlemen. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
The Raider from Las Vegas, they take E-Me-K Egg Buka.
He's off the board.
W-R from Ohio State, so this leaves Jacksonville in the lurch, and they are out of it.
You can't take a player another team has already drafted.
Big doings in the draft. At the number 7, 8, and 9 system choices, the Jet, Pampa, and Saint all trade with each other to take Cam Newton, pass rusher from the Tennessee Titans.
Cam Ward?
Yeah, what'd I say?
Cam Newton. He was drafted a long time ago.
Oh, he was?
You got your Cams confused.
Oh, well, I'll mark him off my list there. Cam Newton, gone. Wow. At number 10, the Chicago Bears take Shadur Sanders.
Okay.
The quarter man from Colorado.
Now, they took a quarterback last year.
They wouldn't do that.
They love taking quarterbacks. They got a pattern emerging. They take quarterbacks every year.
Okay.
And Chicago also takes Shiloh Sanders, DB from Colorado.
Okay.
The same pick?
And they take T.J. Sanders, the DT from South Carolina. So all 3 of Deion's kids go to the Saints. Okay. And those other ones.
That's ridiculous.
Because of the Pope die. Huh. And I'm sure you want to know about your Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
Yeah, what happens?
At the number 12 pick, gentlemen, the Cowboys, they take O.L. Ariante Ersery from Minnesota. But then, this is the thing. At the request of a crying Gene Jones, they then trade Ariante Ersery to the Lakers for Luka Doncic, so he is back in the Dallas FD.
Okay. Bringing him back. Okay.
He is back. He is back, baby. So look for Luka to start at maybe guard or defensive tackle.
Okay, he's big.
That's where they're looking at him. And then the rest of the draft is called off due to a bomb threat.
Oh, my gosh.
That's ridiculous.
And that's what AI and the fusionary blend of intellectual technology has predicted will happen in this draft, gentlemen.
Okay. Well, thanks, I guess.
Well, thank you, Giorgio. You know, this whole draft reminds me of that old sports song that was sung so many years ago.
Oh, what was that?
Which one?
Oh, you want me to sing it for you?
Sure.
It goes like this. Stuck on you. I get the feeling down deep in my soul and it just can't lose. Well, I'm on my way. I'm glad you stayed.
Yeah, you love that song.
So creepy.
How is that a sports song?
I don't know, gentlemen.
All right, see you, Ribby. There goes Ribby.
It's part sport.
Quite a scene. The sea of humanity outside Lambeau Field was really impressive. Over 100,000 people there for the NFL draft. Amazing. Wow. And the Cowboys took an Alabama offensive lineman, a guard, Tyler Booker, with the 12th pick overall. And joining us to talk about that now is the Cowboys owner and GM, Jerry Jones. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning to you guys. How are y'all doing this morning? We're having a fine morning. Good.
Yeah, we watched last night, saw you in the war room, and saw you take Tyler Booker. You really like him, huh?
We are having a really good draft so far this year. It's another year. Another instance of Steven tackling me in the aisle, knocking that Johnny football out of my hand. I'm determined I'm going to draft him one of these years. But we got really lucky this year in the first round that Tyler Brooker, that he fell up to the number 12 pick all the way up from about the 67th ranked player in the draft. Very lucky he fell all the way up. And Tyler's just a great offensive lineman from Alabama, and I know that Judge Shoddy, Coach Brian, he was really fired up to get Brooker. He thinks he can really make a difference. And let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something, brother. I love seeing Judge Shoddy get so fired up about a new young player, especially an offensive lineman, because I was an offensive lineman. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did know that.
Now I'm an offensive GM, but when I was younger, I was an offensive lineman. And I identify strongly with Tyler. Okay. I speak his language, brother.
Okay. Yeah, we noticed that.
I speak his language, man, because we're both offensive linemen, and so right. I know the kind of grit and determinationing that it takes to strap on that leather helmet and go hit other 180-pound monster-sized men until you get drafted in the Korean War. I know that feeling.
Yeah, it's changed a little bit since you were an offensive lineman, but
I think Brooker's going to be a great additive
to Booker.
This team.
And speaking of your head coach, he seems to take a pretty big role in the draft process. What do you like most about your head coach?
His name. I love saying Shoddy.
Yeah, we can tell.
I love Shoddy. Judge Coach Shoddy, Brian, he's like he's been a really refreshing head coach, especially after Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
You know, Mike McCarthy was the time I spent with Mike was just mainly me sitting there watching him eat.
Come on.
We just ran out of things to talk about. But Judge Shoddy, I mean, I like him because he's like a second father to my boys.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He goes out and plays with Steven and Jerry and builds forts with them and teaches them how to hunt and fish. And really, in a way, he's the father figure they never had.
Oh, gosh.
It's no secret that when they were growing up, I was always off being busy not being a father to other children I had outside of wedlock.
Oh, gosh, Jerry.
So for Shoddy to step in, it's just been really a blessing to our family. And, speaking of family, you like how we celebrate after we make a pick?
Man, wow. That's wild.
Acting like the family just won a paternity suit or bought a new helicopter. Everybody going crazy. Love it.
Boy, there's a lot of family in that draft room, too.
A lot of them. Let me tell you something, George. That war room's getting a little too crowded for me, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Got Spalding in there. And there's a good reason for Spalding being there. You know, he's going to inherit this team when I pass away here in about 20 years. And
yeah.
And so he gets to get in there and get some experience. And as a matter of fact, he gets to make the pick in the third or fourth round. I can't remember which one we let him have this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's going to get to take a player, and we'll be testing his football, Accutane, and predicting who's the good players and that sort of thing. So, but I don't think there's not a grandchild that I have that's not in that draft room.
It looks like it.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I have all my grandchildren in there, but I don't have all my kids in there.
Oh, okay, all right.
Gate Agent Jr. is not invited. Gene won't have that.
Yeah, I don't imagine.
I mean, heck, I had to buy her a yacht just to apologize to her for letting one slip past the goalie, but we're having a good time with this draft, and this Tyler Brooker, you just watch him, man. It's something else, man.
All right, we will.
He's gonna be good, brother.
We'll keep an eye on him.
Yeah, you keep an eye on him, and we still got some more rounds to go. So you wait to see. We got a big surprise coming up. Big surprise. You just wait and see. And as a matter of fact, if we take another guy like Tyler Brooker, I've hired Daddy to talk to him in the congratulatory call.
Okay.
It's going to be so hip, and it's going to be so happening. You're going to love it, brother.
Okay, brother.
All right. Good morning, brother.
All right. Good luck in the rest of the draft. There he goes. We'll see you, man.
Take it easy, Holmes.
There goes Jarrah.
the draft. We're doing it early. It is the rant. As we welcome Gordon Keith in, it's brought to you by
Eatsy's Market and Bakery.
Hi, Gordon.
Gordon didn't make it, so I'm having to fill in. I'm his neighbor. And
what's your name?
Chet. Chet Scissor Sister.
Well, Chet Scissor
Sister. Is that a hyphenated last name?
Yeah. I took my wife's last name okay. and added it to mine.
That happens.
I bet you did.
Yeah.
I actually enjoy this voice quite a bit. So.
I listen to y'all's program all the time.
You enjoy it, don't you?
I do. I like it. I like it when Bob makes jokes.
Okay.
He's the funny one.
I'm trying my best.
Yeah, when he does all that.
Thank
the
you.
Racial humor. I think that's funny.
Thank you, Chet Scissor Sister.
Oh, Michi.
Boy, Chet sounds like that he might have fought in World War II, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Okay.
It hurt.
I know you hurt. We all hurt.
Yeah, it hurt me.
We all hurt. Well,
he's like a very country Rick Skinlon.
I know. He yeah. is.
Or if Rick Skinlon and Jesse the Usher had a baby.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, take
well,
it away.
See you later.
We'll see
you.
Right. Oh, Gordon can join us now.
Chet! Oh, man. I just missed Chet. I'm so sorry.
Chet was really nice. Tell him he's welcome anytime.
So, did he tell you he took his wife's last name?
Yeah, he did.
He did, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Is it Scissor or okay, Sister good. That is his wife's name?
His wife's last name is Sister.
Okay.
He
We're
was
all very
Chet Scissor.
Chet Scissor.
Chet Scissor.
Hyphen. Sister.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Have you, Gordon, been keeping up with the Shannon Sharp saga?
Yeah, we reported on it a little bit today, and I heard you talking about it. And so the woman who's suing him for $50 million, she was pissed off when she found out that he was cheating on her when he went live on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't with her.
Right, yes. I think she knew that he had some extracurriculars, but they were in a relationship, and that was kind of the final straw. Like, she knew he was probably messing around, but then he went live on Instagram doing it.
Mm.
And so that's when she said she wanted to break up, and then she recorded him saying that he wanted to choke her.
So,
which is
she was surprised.
The foundation of any healthy relationship.
That a 60-year-old dating a 20-year-old would potentially have other women in his life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he issued a statement today.
Another one?
Yeah. He says, my statement is found here, and this is the truth. I guess he was talking about his statement that he made yesterday.
Okay, you have to do it in his voice.
Yeah, no, I can only do his voice when he's in the throes of passion.
You know how to do it, Michelle.
Oh, Michelle.
I love it. And I love it, Bob. I love it when you do that voice.
Oh, yeah. Chet, here's Bob doing it.
Oh, Michelle.
So he love says the relationship in question was 100% consensual. At this juncture, I am electing to step aside temporarily from my ESPN duties.
Oh man.
Oh, no.
Ew, gross.
That's really going to affect my life.
I will be devoting this time to my family and responding and dealing with these false and disruptive allegations set against me.
Family?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, the family he was trying to start with Michelle.
I plan to return to ESPN at the start of the NFL preseason, Bob.
Oh, do not miss the start of the preseason.
Yeah.
That's when the good stuff happens.
But yeah, so evidently.
So he wants a summer off.
Evidently, they were extremely close to reaching a settlement for $10 million, and then his accuser backed out. And so Tony Busby has said that of the Jane Doe, he says that she chose to file her case instead of taking the settlement. I'm proud to be her lawyer. I didn't seek her out as a client
no.
or target anyone, and Sharp is well aware of that. So Tony Busby is bristling at the belief that he told her not to take the $10 million, that she should go for more, that she reached out to him when she decided not to take the $10
million. So apparently,
he's just Little Red Riding Hood skipping right. through the forest.
Apparently Shannon Sharp has never been married. But he has three kids that are all grown now.
and must be so proud.
And so, yes, so when he says, I need to step away to be with my family, guess who doesn't want to be around him right now? The kids.
How do you know?
Well, and
they may support him.
Here's another thing.
I'm just saying, if this was your father, Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
May
and there was
in
Instagram live footage of him.
Yes, going.
Talking to Michelle that
yes.
way.
Oh, Michelle.
Oh, my gosh.
That wouldn't you be like, look, Dad, I love you and support you, but I don't really want to hang out right now. I don't want to go to Arby's with you or do anything. Like, let's just kind of...
I don't want to watch you eat a Arby's sandwich.
No.
Watch the roast beef on your chin.
Dave, come on.
Oh, kid, you like that?
Oh, sure. Like roast beef.
So I guess last night, I believe this was last night, he has a podcast, a video podcast.
Because remember, the reason she didn't accept the $10 million, we assume at least, is because when they offered that to her, within like 2 days, the report came out that he was signing a $100 million deal to do a podcast.
Well, okay, now you're suggesting she's doing this for money.
No, I'm saying she's doing it
as opposed to being a victim.
She's doing it for more money. Yes. Like, she was fine with the $10 million, and then the $100 million came out, and she's like, why not go for $50?
Right, he's obviously got more than he let on.
Yeah.
I would like to stand with him and also step away until the start of preseason.
Interesting.
So I'll see
for
you guys.
For the same reason?
I just feel like I need a break, and I'll see you guys in 90 days.
We were trying to figure out, Gordon, if there was ever a scenario in Bob's life where a woman would text him, would you please put a big black baby in me?
Oh, my gosh.
I want you to put a big black baby in me.
Which was one of the texts that she had sent
right.
him.
Like,
okay, now I haven't read their texts. I know that he was the one that released a lot of the texts, right?
Yeah, yes. Because they were trying to establish that this is just the way they talk to one another.
Yeah. And
that she at one point said that, I want you to put a dog collar on me and choke me.
Right.
Right.
And lick certain places that rough. No man would ever.
She wanted
woman,
to lick.
Woman would ever what? Choose what? To,
that
to
part
do.
Of him.
Yes.
Yeah. The chocolate donut.
Oh,
Dave.
Come on, man.
So, but as far as his podcast, so I believe this was last night, but he does this podcast with Chad Ochocinco Johnson. And
Ochocinco Johnson.
I don't know. Ochocinco. He's been retired for a while.
Chad Johnson.
But I don't... Like, if you are in the middle of a sexual assault lawsuit, should you
stop it?
Should you on your podcast start talking about an OnlyFans model and how hot and talented she is?
Did he do that last night?
He started talking about a different one?
Yeah, he was talking about...
Because she has an OnlyFans, right?
His right, accuser yeah, yeah. She is an OnlyFans model. I don't know her name. I think it may be out there, but he was talking to Ochocinco about Sky Bree, who is not just an OnlyFans model, like a full-on porn star.
Okay.
And so he was talking about her and talking about how she plays on her back, because Ochocinco didn't know who she was. And like,
but he knows all about her?
Who does she play for? You know, thought he was talking about like a WNBA star or something. Yeah. And he's like, no, she plays on her back. And so... It went viral and got millions of views, and people are like, should you be slut-shaming sex workers when you have been banging a sex worker and now you are being sued by that sex worker?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like...
Well, is he really shaming her, or is he just identifying...
Or is
just
he...
clarifying that she's not a... He's not talking about a player, that she's a OnlyFans person.
Either way, it's probably bad timing.
Yeah.
I you know what? I'm going to disagree. I think that the smart play here is to embrace it and don't do the bended knee. You know, that's...
You got to be who you are?
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, when Trump came along and he didn't do the bended knee do-si-do that the press requires of everyone, once we catch you, once society catches you... If you just double down and go
No, you're right.
Balls to the wall with it. I think that, something about that is refreshing to people. And I think that you gain a lot more support that way than you do if you tuck tail.
Yeah, not letting the media win, not letting your critics win.
Right.
Just owning the narrative by just blowing through it.
No, it's actually genius because this usually happens when people feel like they have a reputation to protect and some perhaps facade of the reality of their personal life. And if you lean into it the other way, as Shannon Sharp has, where I believe he's basically said, well, yeah, I'm a healthy single male. What do you think I'm trying to do all day?
Right.
Like he
doesn't have the aggrieved wife that people can point to.
Yes, and then every single adult male starts cheering for him. Like,
right.
Huzzah, he's living the life we all aspire to live.
I guess I look at it from a human decency standpoint. Sure. But we as a society are beyond all.
Yes, what if we discard decency as a society?
Yeah, but he definitely has a type. He likes early 20s white girls with giant cans. Who doesn't?
Well, I don't know about the white.
The market inefficiency.
Free Thursday at this time. Am I the jerk?
Yes, yes. Am I the jerk? 1310 at gmail.com is where you can send those scenarios. If you want to ask the question whether you are a jerk or someone around you, you had a story, a scenario, whatever it is, we would love to hear from you. Am I the jerk? 1310 at gmail.com. But first, let's go live to Appleton, Wisconsin. And our other travel partner who said he had a question, scenario about what happened on the flight here. That is one Killer Kellison. Good morning, Killer.
Good morning, Donovan.
All right,
good
what's
morning,
your scenario?
Matt. Good morning, Killer. So yesterday on our flight up here, because we're all on the same flight, I had the honor of sitting in one of the emergency exit rows.
Very nice.
And I had the aisle seat on said row.
Mm-hmm.
So when we got on the flight, I got my seat. There's a guy at the window. And then this younger guy comes in, about mid-20s, and sits down in between us and immediately claims both armrests.
Okay.
And I was a little annoyed by this because I was like, dude, we should split it a little bit. You know, don't take the whole thing.
Oh, you're saying so he put his entire arm
on? His entire arm was on both of them, and he was just sitting like he was a king in a throne.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a little perturbed by this. Well, about 30, 45 minutes into the flight, he taps me on the shoulder because he needs to go to the restroom. So because we are in that emergency exit, there's enough room where I don't actually have to stand up to let him out. I just have to flip up my tray and let him go.
Yeah.
And I take it upon myself to reclaim the territory.
Oh, you marked it.
I took my armrest back from him, at least maybe a little bit more than 2/3 of the armrest. I gave him a little space, you know. It's big enough where we can both have our elbows on there and be fine.
Man.
Am I a jerk? Because he was in the middle seat.
Right.
But I do think you should be able to share things, and he claimed the entire thing. So I just basically just took it back.
Yeah, and when he came back, was there any wrestling for territory?
There was a look. A glance, I saw it out of the corner of my eye,
sure.
Kind of like,
bitch,
what are you doing, dude, thing, and he didn't say anything, just proceeded.
That's
he
so
didn't
funny.
Even he didn't even bother trying to take back the little territory I left
right.
him.
Right, he just gave it all
he
to
gave,
he
just,
conceded. That's
yes,
so funny.
Yes, he just gave it
Killer's
all up.
Killer's so intimidating, okay. He didn't even try.
I know, this is my thought on flights, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, it's conventional thinking, this is just me. I feel the middle seat has the right to the armrest. I don't even put my arm on there because I'm an aisle guy and I try my best to get the aisle. I don't even mess with it because I feel like the inconvenience of being in the middle is that you get the convenience of the armrest. Now, if you're there and you don't claim it, then, you know, yeah. If I look over and see if it's some room, then I'll work my way there. But I just always go to my own armrest on the right. I feel that's mine. I feel the middle seat is theirs.
I think you got to share.
I think you got to share, especially if it's the window guy, that's one thing. But the aisle guy has to worry about the carts coming up and down
sure.
all the time.
Yeah, you got to lean over.
If you're leaning over, all of a sudden you're getting
easy
bumped
access
every
to get
time.
Out, too. Because there's
that's
no
true.
Benefit to the middle seat there is a benefit to the aisle in the window.
And so that's why I give the benefit of the doubt. Right. To the armrest for the middle seat.
I don't think that they get to control the armrest. I disagree with that. Buy a ticket earlier.
But you already have an armrest. They have to be squeezed in between two people and have half an armrest on each side while the people on the outside get an armrest and a half.
That's just my thinking. Yep. So I let them do that. So in my thought process and scenario, I do feel that you were a bit of a jerk.
I admit it. I felt like my aggressiveness was brought on by his aggressiveness.
Yeah, you are a jerk. Okay.
Aggressive.
I just don't know if I can share an armrest with another dude.
No, I mean,
I
the
feel
guy
like that's
that,
almost like Lady and the Tramp spaghetti.
The guy that sat next to me, we shared the armrest, and there was no problem.
If our elbows touched, then we just kind of gazed into each other's eyes.
Just a tip.
And if you're not going to use the armrest, I'll use it. So. Yeah.
And see, but that's why I give them the option of if you're not going to use it, then, okay, I'll take it over and I'll be fine. But I'm going to let them get the option of it.
I do have one more.
Sure.
Oh, my.
So usually on these trips where we're staying places, I get up and I do prepare breakfast for everybody and stuff. But I also try to straighten up.
Sure.
And this morning I came across something I've never come across before. And I was kind of disgusted by it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
I'm going to show you this picture, Donovan. I'll tweet it out here in a second. But that's what I woke up to. Because we were all watching the Stars game last night.
Okay, so I will describe the picture. It's a little end table that goes right next to the couch. There's a lamp on there, and
I put the cans all over
three
there.
Three empty cans of beer, one mug, two empty water bottles, and a frost pick.
What are you doing,
right,
man?
There on the
that's all me.
That's all Matt.
Yeah.
You are out of control.
Yeah, that's bad.
Whoa.
No, I see it. Jeez.
Did you still leave your shoes by the closet door?
No, he did the right thing. He left the shoes there, but I cleaned that up this morning.
Crazy,
so
man.
You picked up the floss pick?
I did pick up. I got some toilet paper out of the bathroom.
Did you have the dish gloves like
the
you're
tongs.
In surgery?
Use one can to kind of scrape it into a bag.
Little hazmat stuff going on there.
Yeah, there's no defense on that one. That's pretty bad.
Oh, we do have an admission of being a jerk here from one Maddie.
No fight given.
No, dude, after the Stars, after Sagan scored that goal, Travis, you should have seen. Matt went around the room just punching different
pillows.
Different pillows on the couch. It's like, man, this is really odd.
He didn't flip off any refrigerators, did he?
Like, I really would have hated to see if Colorado would have scored. I probably would have had to duck. I would have ran into the room. I was like, let him get everything out.
Start stabbing people really with funny. A toothpick.
No, I guess.
A false pick.
Like, normally when I – because we had a couple of beers last night, usually I'll just wake up and do it in the morning and just leave it when I go to bed and then wake up in the morning and do it. But Killer got up before
Killer
me,
here.
So.
Yeah, the false pick is the most egregious.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I don't mind the bottles or the mug and stuff, but the false pick is what got me.
That's pretty – pretty bad.
It left a mark on the table too,
that's gross. I mean, there's just no other way around
just
it.
Leftover.
I'm a disgusting human.
Leftover hops,
so
on the floss pick.
That's nasty. Mm-hmm.
Leftover barley
to you and yours and everyone around.
All right, let's get one in from amithejerk1310@gmail.com. thank you, Killer. I needed to buy a drug item from a CVS because I had a $10 credit on my CVS rewards card. As I was away from my house, I asked Google for the nearest CVS store. GPS directed me to a Target store with the CVS inside the store. I went inside, picked up my item, proceeded to the CVS checkout counter. The clerk told me I needed to take my drug item to the checkout up front. I asked her if they would take my rewards card at the Target checkout. She said, no, they won't, but we won't either.
What?
I set the item down on the counter, started walking away, and said, will you put this back on the shelf? I turned around and said, the lady said, will you put the item back on the shelf? I turned around and said, no, but you can. She was not happy. Am I the jerk?
Ooh.
So it didn't go his way.
Yeah, kind of. Like, why wouldn't you just put it back on the shelf? Like, what's, I guess.
Because they wouldn't let him use his,
So that's his rebellion?
Yeah.
Giant
that's
bitch.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, that's a really. Definitely.
I mean, they are the employee.
So maybe you could be like, oh, I forgot where I got it from. But if you knew where it was and it wasn't out of your way to go put it back.
Now, I probably would have been a little bit disturbed that they didn't use my credit if I wanted to use it. If it's
a
credit at the store and you can't use it there, I don't understand that. That probably would make me go, okay. But I've always been one to, even if it's 7 hours away, I will make sure I go put my item back where I needed it. I don't think I have OCD, but it always bothered me if you have a pack of Little Debbie snack cakes and you put it over by the spaghetti because you didn't want it. Like, you got it, then go put it back.
Yeah.
So I guess it's all the whole two wrongs don't make it right. So in essence,
kind of feels that
he
way.
Probably was a jerk at that, especially with the no, but you can line to it. That's definitely jerk attitude.
Because it definitely falls under her purview to put, or the store's purview to put their product back on the shelf if it is moved.
Sure.
And like, if something isn't bought at the counter, I could see where like, okay, well, how about you just put that back there and put it up later? But if they're gonna, if there's gonna be an exchange, it changes the dynamic.
And there's usually a cart like at the end of your shift where they have things and you have to go put them back in the right spot.
But it is a little weird for even the employee to say, will you put this back on the shelf?
That's
strange,
wild.
Yes.
That's really wild. So maybe that's the warranted response of someone that says, I'm not a confrontational guy, so I'm not going to turn around and say no, but you can. But I would be kind of weirded out if someone said, will you put that back on the shelf? Like, what?
No.
And then 100%, if they do get that guy to take the item and, quote, take it back to where he got it, he's just going to put it on the first shelf he sees, right?
Like, not even a chance he's going to put it.
And no
that,
way.
That may have been my response to the
All
whole
right,
thing.
This is going with the M&Ms.
It's a medicine, and it's going to go over there with the lotion. You
see that a lot. Or just random items where somebody's like, oh, I don't want this, and they just stick it wherever.
I always find that
decisions
odd.
Were made. Like the beer aisle has like some meat that's been stuck on top of all of the cases.
A tomahawk over there by
like,
the 7-Up.
I got to do the what's important priorities, man.
It's like, come on. You can't put something that needs to be cool just back on the aisle because you didn't want it.
To me, it's not a big deal to put it back where you got it from.
No, it's not. It's not.
I mean, you do that at your house, right? I mean, you're supposed to. I didn't do it last night.
Yeah, coming from you, I don't know what that means.
You're supposed to, like, you know, you use something, you put it back, and it's spot where it goes.
So it's a little odd that the employee would say, hey, will you put that back on the shelf?
Right, that's
so now
strange.
I may change my mind. Because it seems like that's a very warranted response if you're going to say, hey, will you put that back on the shelf? Like,
I'm good.
So what's your job then?
See?
Especially if they wouldn't let you purchase it.
Yeah, I think I am agreeing. Where you're kind of like, why are you here? Will you put this back on the shelf? Cool. How much did I get paid for this hour of work that I